We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the pole and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Sully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to the Score. Peter Gammons joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Peter.
I'm doing all right, sort of. You know, I'm trying to do the best.
Well, I think it's fascinating to think about what everyone is going through, and certainly we look at, you know, everyone we talk to, we try to make sure they're doing okay and everything's going all right. It's just we're all in such bizarre circumstance. I don't know, you know, and with all your connections and everyone you're talking to, it's hard to figure out what people should do, let alone what we expect for sports and how we need them to get back to play just to have something to distract us from all this.
Well, it's just so complicated. I mean, I'm really glad that I'm not a baseball commissioner because I don't see any right way to do this. I haven't yet figured out how they're supposed to come back and play.
You know, Peter, if there's no right way, is there a wrong way that you've heard? I mean, are there plans that you've heard proposed that you just look at and think maybe it's the Arizona plan, like, oh boy, that won't work. Or maybe it's the new one with the Texas getting involved with Florida and Arizona. Is there a wrong plan that you've heard that made you feel like that wasn't going to be something that's feasible?
I don't think I'm not sure the Arizona plan was ever that serious. But that's not going to work. Putting 50 people in 50 different hotels, 50 people in 30 different hotels with 30 different buses and all that goes into, they need a lot more than just, than 30 players really, because, you know, as a couple of general men, we have to have a good extra 15 people for taxi squads because of all, first of all, you can't be asking pitchers to come back and pitch more than three or four or five innings. So starting pitchers. So they're going to need more pitchers. They're going to have a lot of injuries. You ramp up, you go back down for a couple of months, you come back up. And as soon as one player tests positive in that situation, and in a lot of situations, there's going to be panic. And there's no guarantee that chances are very heavy that they will, and crowds are not coming back. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, the largest sports entertainment company in the United States, which does unbelievable research, and says that you will not have crowds until there's some sort of antidote so that people are guaranteed that they're able to take shots and be healthy. I mean, this is it's a serious issue. One of the best ideas I've heard was from a general manager who said to me, you know what, let's be realistic. I mean, there are so many obstacles here. The way baseball needs to look at this is what do we want baseball to be in 2023? I mean, and there are so many things on all the levels, which I don't think baseball owners understand how baseball's developed. I think there are very few that really grasp it. But the minor league, without the minor leagues, I mean, let's say they're back in 2 years. They're going to be players that are still going to make pretty good free agent money. Where are the levels of players? Where are we developing players? They're going to be making the minimum. That's a tremendous amount of cost for when they get there. But if they're not playing, how ready are they going to be? Secondly, college baseball is taking a tremendous hit here, and we don't know where that's going. And they need college to be developing players if there's no lower minors. And that's, you know, with college football at issue and at risk for a while. I was amazed. A friend of mine who coached and went to the University of Michigan was explaining to me, they make $100 million in revenues off of football. $8 million of those go to the baseball program. They're going to be cutting back. Mid-major programs without major football revenues are going to basically have to drop football or drop all or any financial aid to college baseball players. A lot of the small programs are going to have to be dropped entirely. And high school baseball is almost a non-entity in this country already, except in California, Texas, and Florida. And where's that all going? And if to get reelected, the president decides that the teams will have spent a lot of money on these international free agents, who now this year, for instance, would be, after 2 years of the Dominican Summer League, would be sending them over here to the Gulf Coast, Arizona, a Summer League. If they can't come into the country, where's the development of players? And there are some real issues facing baseball right now that nobody has the answers to. And they're really scared about it.
You know, we were discussing this idea that, you know, the White Sox, for instance, Peter, went ahead and signed a lot of players to extensions before they had actually done a ton of things yet, you know, just to have all the young guys growing together, and they got all this work done, and we've just been waiting to see this unfold. How is a team like that affected more because it tried to take advantage of financial stability? Was that a mistake in retrospect? And again, I know you can't possibly be able to figure out exactly how this stuff was going to happen. But I'm just curious what your thoughts on it.
No, because no one in baseball was privy to the information that was given to the White House on December 12th of last year about how serious this was. So, I mean, no one really knew. I mean, we weren't told the truth in January. Owners didn't know. so, I mean, they were doing the right thing. I actually believe, and I've been thinking about this a lot, that the White Sox are a team that this is affecting as much as anybody. I'm not talking about the revenues, but I'm just looking at player development and where they were. I mean, I know. There are people who were ecstatic. When I saw some story that Kopech was throwing 100 miles an hour early in spring training, I thought, this is terrible. This is really stupid. I mean, to be doing this, coming off Tommy John, there's no need to be doing it now. But I'm told that's not really the case. And that the thing that so impressed everybody is that when he was throwing his bullpens, right from the onset of spring training, he was throwing 90 to 92, just making sure his delivery was perfect and his command was perfect. They're convinced that he was on route to a monster number one starter season with Giolito, with Cease coming along. I mean, the hope that Rodon was going to be ready by All-Star break, we'll say, or the 1st of August. They've been set back a long way. Plus, the encouragement that they got out of Fulmer in spring training and Dave Dunning coming off Tommy John. And then also the experience that Jimenez and Robert might have gotten in spring training. I mean, I still want to see Nomar Mazara, not just because I love any guy whose father was an admiral of the Dominican Navy, because I never knew there was a Dominican Navy. But, and, you know, and then of the ability to at least look at Zach Collins and Andrew Vaughn and Nick Madrigal in spring training. I mean, the White Sox are so close to the border of being really good that they've really been hurt by this. If they don't play until next year, and I'm not a betting man, but if I were to bet, I would bet that we don't see games until next year. But the White Sox have been set back in an unfortunate way, and I say that with a, you know, I obviously feel much more sorry for everyone who was ill in this country, but at least the White Sox tried to do it right. They never said, "Oh, we're going to be really good in a year." They said, "You know, we'll be good again when we're ready to be good." And they made no promises. I thought they did this rebuilding thing as well as anyone, and as tastefully as anyone. And you know, some of this could backfire on them. I know teams have done a great job. I love listening to them talk about all the video programs that they use. They watch guys. Rich Hill of the Twins was out. He has a screen that he goes out by this right near where he lives, Milton High School in Massachusetts, and he throws it in the screen. He does long tosses into a screen. No one else around, but it's all on video so that they can watch it in the ballpark in Minneapolis. And the coaches could tell him what he's doing wrong. This is beyond my wildest imagination, but it's kind of, some of that is fun, and they do it well. And I know the White Sox are doing a great job with it, but still, the possibility of setbacks and maybe some career frustrations if you're a Vaughn or a Madrigal or a Cease that could end up hurting them a year from now. Could really do damage to what I think was a very well laid out program for bringing the White Sox back into prominence.
Peter, I just want to be clear here. So based on your experience, based on the people that you've talked to, and based on just your feel for what's ahead and what you've studied and what you know, you feel like there's a higher percentage that there won't be baseball in 2020 than there will be?
Yeah, that's the way I feel, and I hope I'm wrong. For many people, especially people who like sell hot dogs and so forth at the ballpark. Oh, I don't know if you saw the piece that Alex Speer wrote in the Boston Globe this week about how different the experience may be in 2023 when we expect the game to be back to normal. And that is things like, I mean, you can't have vendors going through the stairs, passing a hot dog down five people. That'll never happen again. Do we now go without hot dogs and Cracker Jacks at ballparks in the future? I don't know. But at the same time, I find it very difficult to believe that they'll be able to get games played this year. And you know, just the idea that we're not going to see college football until next February is amazing to me as well.
Peter, thanks so much. We appreciate your time. Always a joy to talk to you. I wish the news was better.
I know. It's. I think we all do, but we also have to worry about the health of this country. And there's a great book if you want to read something about the last. The Spanish flu of 1918. There's a guy named Skip Desjardins who has written a book called 1918, The Plague, The War, and the World Series. Now, obviously, it's written from a New England standpoint because it was 1918, even though the Red Sox did beat the Cubs in the World Series. But it's fascinating to read. I had no idea how devastating that Spanish flu was, and it's a great read tying together World War I, the Spanish flu, and Babe Ruth. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Stay healthy, Peter.
Thank you so much, Peter. Yep, be well.
Okay, thank you.
That is Peter Gammons. Boy, I mean, that's sobering. 312-644-6767 is the number. Sorry, David.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, when you talk about the Arizona plan he doesn't like, I can't imagine that there'd be any reason he would like the Florida, Texas, Arizona plan any better. And there's just all sorts of these kind of ideas that it sounds as if, you know, his opinion's valued and it's trusted. And he just has one that he doesn't expect to see baseball in 2020. That's pretty sobering.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.